Hello, I'm Jane Ashbrook and I'm a lecturer at the Manchester School of Physio at Manchester Met University in the UK.
Hello, I'm Beatriz Martinez. I'm a lecturer in the Universidad Europea de Madrid in Spain. Welcome to the Guided Reflection podcast, Physio Placement, Innovation from a Crisis. In this podcast, we are going to be finding out about the challenges to clinical placement brought about the COVID pandemic and how this has affected different universities around the world. We're going to be asking you to listen, pause, and reflect on some of the experiences of our colleagues and students that they will share during this podcast.
The podcast is about 40 minutes long, and it includes some discussion to make you think about how, as a profession, we've responded to the crisis of lost student placements and what we can learn from the experience going forward. There will be some space for you to reflect on your thoughts following each discussion. And I think this is a really good opportunity for you to move away from your desk or your laptop for a little while, go for a run, go for a walk, or just find somewhere to sit and listen away from distractions. At the end of the podcast, we would really like it if you could capture your key reflections in a way that can be shared with the other participants. So either text or video or voice recording, tweets or a video on YouTube. But if you could share it by posting on the Physio Placements Innovations from a Crisis Padlet on the Unconference Canvas page by 10 a.m. Coordinated Universal Time on Tuesday the 15th of September.
When you have shared your reflections, take a look at the post from other participants. We will use these reflections to form the basis of the synchronous discussion of this podcast via the Canvas link at 12 p.m. Coordinated Universal Time on the 15th September.
Liaising with placement providers to provide placements has become more and more challenging in the UK in recent years, mainly due to our increase in physio student numbers, partly because Health Education England recognised the requirement to train more physios to meet the demands of the NHS, but also because we've got an increased number of international students studying with us. As a lecturer, it's really exciting to be involved in shaping the new generation of physios and a diverse cohort of students from lots of different cultural, religious and ethnic backgrounds adds to the richness of all our experiences. But even prior to the outbreak of COVID, we were starting to pilot different ideas to increase the number of student placements available, such as increasing the educator to student ratio. We've been sending small groups of students on role emerging placements into areas where specific physiotherapy services don't currently exist, such as assisted living environments and retirement villages. So in my interview with Vicky Ashworth from Manchester Metropolitan Uni, we discussed the challenges that COVID has created in an already challenging environment of physio student placement provision, and in my opinion, the most important element of every student's journey. It would be great that in the space following the interview, you could reflect on this conversation and also consider the things that your institution has done to respond to the crisis. What are the predominant challenges faced by your institution to catch up on placement provision, and how do you think they should be addressed? And do you think there's a place for more tech placements in the future? And if so, how do we navigate the IT infrastructure and information governance on a large scale, particularly in an institution like the NHS? So, Vicky, thank you for joining me this afternoon. Can you just give us an overview of your job role within the university?
I'm a work-based learning tutor, and my responsibility is for the physiotherapy and speech and language therapy students at Manchester Metropolitan. And my role is a new role. So it's looking at facilitating the development of new placement areas, identifying potential interprofessional learning opportunities. A lot of student support and guidance roles within that. So placement preparation. We've created a Moodle page. We run regular drop-ins, face-to-face and virtual visits, email support, troubleshooting, signposting and communication where the students are concerned. The other thing is about trying to make sure that students can meet their required learning outcomes and make timely progression on the programmes they're on, and to ensure that they have a quality learning experience. Other than directly student stuff, we do the stakeholder engagements, audits, and engagement with research, And I'm new to this role. It's a new role and I'm new to it. So I started at the end of March, round about when COVID started having a massive impact on our students.
So that's great timing. It sounds like a really interesting role, though, that I think sounds valuable to support the students going forward on placement. So talking about the onset of the COVID pandemic, how did lockdown then affect the student placement provision in Manchester?
I think that the initial thing was that all planned placements stopped, and there was a period where there were no students out on placement, and it was, how on earth are we going to manage this? What's going to happen? And then we had the HEE portal was established for the band three assistant roles that the students could opt into, and there was the temporary registration set up. So then it was about, how does this operate? What systems do we need to use within it? And how do we process this? And the guidance was essentially and required to be ever evolving throughout it. So what was in place one week had changed and developed further by the next week. So we had to sort of maintain the records, learn how to use the portal. And our planning department took control of the portal and set that up and established that very quickly for us. And it was about ensuring that the students and staff and the clinicians were aware of how we could use this process to try and provide some placement opportunities for our students. And it affected all of our health professional students. And there was initially a lot of confusion around it and how these things worked and how we could use it and what the students were required to do. So with regard to opting in or out of the process.
OK, so what sort of new placement opportunities did you develop off the back of the placements being cancelled?
I wouldn't say that in any way I developed anything. But as a team and as a sort of geographical area and within sort of the UK as a whole and within physio as a whole, the techs placements, so the technology enabled care services placements, are the main thing that have come around because of COVID. There was, prior to this, there were some telehealth appointments. There were some people doing some video aspects, but the whole services having to go online was down to COVID, as far as I'm aware. I don't think anybody was offering that complete service. And students being able to be involved in that, that was a COVID outcome. And we've had some really good experiences for some of our students from this.
Sounds great. So what challenges then are you facing now to get students back on placement or to catch up with those placements that have been missed?
I think that the main challenge, well, there's a few main challenges. So we've got new forms. We've got risk assessment forms that all of our students have to have completed before they can go on any placement. So it's another form that the student has to complete. And the students are then categorised low, high and very high risk. If you're a low risk, that's wonderful. You can go on placement, not quite as before, but fairly easily. If you're high or very high risk, then we have to take measures to ensure that we are showing due care and attention and properly protecting and looking after our students. So we have to discuss that with the placement team at the trust or the placement provider to make sure that those students are appropriately supported and appropriately placed, so that learning environment isn't going to be detrimental to their health. Placements are still not back to normal. So lots of trust, they've still got many staff that are still deployed to different areas. And a lot of clinical staff are unsure how they're going to appropriately support a student in where they're working now, because practices have changed so much. So again, there's lots of changes in practice there that staff are still dealing with. And because they want to ensure their students get a good experience, it's making them reluctant and anxious about having students and a little bit more cautious. The other major challenge is that we need recovery placements for our new incoming final year students. So out of that cohort, I think I'm not exaggerating at all when I say that every single student lost a minimum of one placement last year, and some lost more than one placement. And that cohort is, I think, about 110 students. Our master's students, the ones that should have graduated, there's a lot of international students there. And so a lot of them are still in need of both assessed and elective placements. And then that's the additional demand that we're putting on practice to provide support for these placements on top of what we would normally have asked for. And practice has got this reduced capacity to take it. Right. So we're having lots of discussions around different ways that students can be placed, different ways that placements can support students, and trying to look at these areas and be innovative around them.
Mm. OK, so considering the kind of response to COVID, are there any positive actions, do you think, that will be beneficial to enhance student provision in the future? So hopefully in a post-COVID environment.
Oh, yes, please, post-COVID. That would be a lovely phrase to use. But I think the text-type placements, so those ones that have a high amount of technology involved, those are new services that have been developed. One of them, our student helped establish that and build that service. And those providers are planning on continuing to provide those services in an ongoing format. And I think that's a really positive thing that we can take from it. So, and sort of putting that into context of the risk assessments and students' relative risks, that means students that have got a very high risk can have, these types of placements included within their range of placements that they do. So it gives them a different type, but also I think that technology is going to be a part of physiotherapy practice going into the future. Yeah. I don't think we're ever going to be in a place where anybody doesn't have some involvement with technology nowadays. But also we've got, we had students that went on placements with leadership placements and doing projects and non-clinical work. And I think those types of placements are again going to continue, and we need to build on those to provide those additional opportunities for our students. And looking at role emerging placements, so placements where you wouldn't necessarily expect to have physiotherapists based full time. But the other thing that as a university that we've looked at is our initial observational placement for our students, which on all programmes our students did a week of the observational scenario before they went on practice placements where they were expected to be more clinical and be involved with the patients. We're looking at changing those now and making those into techs simulated placements based on real patients, real case scenarios, where the students can gain some of that clinical experience and start to think in a more clinical way rather than academic way. But again, reducing that pressure that we put on practice by asking for all of these students to be accommodated somehow for a week to shadow a clinician.
Sounds brilliant. So I suppose just to summarise then, the main challenges, well, I suppose the predominant challenges is numbers of hours and getting those students that have missed placements to catch up, as well as providing placements for the students that are moving into second year and third year this year. And then obviously looking at how you measure the students' risk and ensure that they can still have placement opportunities. And I suppose all of that really fits into the trying to sort of change the typical UK NHS based student physiotherapy placement and looking outside the box of different areas where the students can gain really relevant experience in a different type of physiotherapy environment.
Yeah, that and also within the classic NHS clinical placement setting, looking at ways that we can move away from that traditional one-to-one, one educator to one student setting.
Yeah, fab. Brilliant. Well, thank you very much for your time. That's given us a really good insight into where we are in Manchester with our student provision.
You're very welcome. Lovely to chat to you.
It would be a good idea to pause here for 10 minutes or so just to consider your thoughts and reflections and make a few notes. In the next segment, we'll hear from Shamila, a clinical coordinator in a South African physiotherapy department, sharing some of her experiences managing student placements during the pandemic.
Hi, my name is Shamila. I am the clinical coordinator in the Department of Physiotherapy at the University of the Western Cape. I would like to share some of my experiences about clinical practice in the time of COVID-19. So when the pandemic hit South Africa in March, we had to pull all our fourth year students from the clinical platform. And like so many other universities around the world, we also now had to rethink how our students could continue their clinical training remotely. We decided to adopt case-based learning as an approach to stimulate critical thinking and clinical reasoning. Our students were given various cases and they were able to meet virtually with their clinical supervisors and with academic staff to unpack and discuss each case. We also looked into using simulations where we would access our skill labs on campus and replicate various clinical scenarios and have our students engage in tasks related to these scenarios. However, we are only considering this for level one of our lockdown. So I can definitely see that we will continue to use and incorporate virtual learning and simulations into our clinical training program, as it has proven to be quite useful. However, although remote learning has a role to play, we must understand that students need real-life clinical exposure as well. It is difficult to simulate human responses and behaviors. So for students to interact with clinicians and with patients and administrators, we need them to work in various clinical settings. Our plan was always for students to return to clinical practice, but this proved to be a very challenging task. The hospitals in the Western Cape had de-escalated their services and their focus was just COVID-19. So the health professionals and the clinicians felt that they did not have the capacity or the resources to cope and manage with having students also on the platform. It became clear to me then that the university needed to step up and needed to provide additional support and supervision for our students. Our supervisors now played a very important role in this time of COVID-19, and they must be commended for their selfless efforts and commitment to clinical education. We understood now that once our students were going to return to clinical practice, the exposure and the learning opportunities was going to be limited. We therefore asked students to adopt a more integrated approach to their learning. Whatever learning opportunity was available at the health facility, they needed to embrace that learning opportunity. And so in moving forward, we understood that there was limited access to hospitals and community health centers, and we needed to explore alternative placements for our students. We then looked into private practice as an alternative. And although this was a new and exciting opportunity, the learning was very different for our students. The experience was very unique, but we embraced it, and it's something that we want to continue in the future. We want to build sustainable partnerships with private practices and have a footprint in this area as well. So just in moving forward, I see us using remote learning as a way of teaching. I see us continuing to work in private practices. And I also feel like we need to relook our clinical examinations. We need to work towards continuous assessment as opposed to final examinations. The pressure and the amount of stress that students are faced with the exam process needs to be eliminated. There must be a way that we can evaluate competency without the stress of examinations. And so just in conclusion, I would like to just mention three things that I've learned in this time of COVID-19. The first thing is that we need to embrace change. It's not always easy, but it is necessary in order for us to grow, both personally and professionally. Secondly, what I've learned is that in order to survive and to thrive in a crisis of this magnitude, everyone needs to work together. Teamwork and collaboration across all sectors is pivotal. And then the last thing that I've learned is that we need to be supportive of one another, and we need to be aware of the physical and mental health of our students and our colleagues. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Shamila. Now, take some time to reflect on your thoughts on how COVID-19 has affected South African physio placements. How does this compare to your experience? And what do you think about their response and Shamila's thoughts for the future? As part of our work on role emerging placements, we piloted a project providing physiotherapy advice and assessments to a local homeless charity drop-in cafe. A UK survey conducted in 2014 suggests that 41% of homeless people suffer from health problems of MSK origin. However, there's evidence that this population do not access healthcare support for more minor health problems and tend to present when they are sicker. There is some consensus in the small amount of literature that we have looked at regarding this, that due to barriers faced by homeless people when accessing healthcare, it is important that services adapt to meet their specific needs. So we are planning to roll out this to a more formal student placement following the success of the pilot. And in the following conversation, two of our students share their experiences of attending the homeless drop-in cafe and give us some insight about what they learnt. In the space following this conversation, we would love you to reflect on the experiences of these students and think about similar environments that you could offer a different type of physiotherapy placement.
All right, so my name's Andy and this is...
Anushka.
Yeah, and we're both third year, well, just about to enter third year at MMU. We both took part in the homeless kind of physio support at the beginning of last year. Nushka did it first, and then I did it after with a friend. And I guess we're just going to talk about our experiences and kind of what we saw, what we came across, and what we did. Do you want to start? Or?
Yeah.
Yeah, go for it.
So the first time that I heard about the homeless cafe was Jane actually telling me about it. She told me that there was this homeless cafe wherein all... homeless people from different areas around the city come in for like a meal, a fresh change of clothes, yeah. a shower, and just like some tea and coffee. Mm-hmm. And so we decided, two of us, we decided to go, and we thought it'd be good to get an idea of what physio might be like in that area.
Because I think at that point we hadn't gone on placement yet, have we?
We hadn't gone on placement. It was like our first practical experience.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was just freshly into second year, so like our base was still developing, like we were still learning about different things.
Yeah.
So it was just kind of an insight into what it would be like later
on. I think for me too, like I hadn't been comfortable with, well, like not comfortable, but more so, like, I hadn't been used to talking to kind of strangers mm-hmm. as a physio. So that definitely was something that was that I wanted to practice on. I wasn't really sure if we were going to do any hands-on at all. I remember, like, freaking out, being like, oh, my gosh, I don't know, like, if we were asked to do, like, a massage or any, like, mobilizations. But no. Yeah, definitely. Huge insight. So what did you do? Like, because we didn't go at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So what was something that, is there something that you remember doing or?
So I remember we were first like in the beginning half of the session. We mm-hmm. went at around 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
And people came in at 10 o'clock. So the first half was just helping around with the food and everything.
Yeah.
And then we started going around tables, asking them how they were managing, mm-hmm. how their health has been. Like, do they have any sort of pain? And surprisingly, there was like around 50 to 60% of the people just telling us like how hard it is, because it was like, I think it was winter at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like the cold, when you sleep outside on cold on like the rough surface, mm-hmm. your muscles and everything starts getting sore. So like there were literally 50 to 60% people complaining about stiffness.
Yeah.
And that was actually one of the most common problems we saw.
Yeah.
The others were... We also came up across a person who had GBS.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, so he had a neuro background. I think he had some treatment for it,
yeah.
but he still had difficulty walking. Like, his feet were not exactly getting placed on the ground right.
Yeah.
So that was, like, the experience I got. What about you?
That's actually pretty good. I mean, I don't think we came across anyone. Like, you would ask, you know, how are you doing today? Like, would you want any physios or anything that I can do for you?
Mm.
And I think a lot of them just kind of... either kind of just wanted to be left alone and just eat their food, or they just wanted to talk about their problems or just how their day's going or something. And I think it's interesting to see, like, the problems that they might be facing compared to, like, maybe problems we think we're facing, and just to compare, like, what our lives are like. And I remember one was just talking about her husband, but not really husband, and then the husband came in, and it was just, like, it was cool because you just... I don't know, you get to know people who are in or at a completely different stage in their life. Mm-hmm. So I found that, yeah, definitely really interesting. Yeah, I didn't necessarily do any, like, physio. I mean, we gave a massage to, like, one of them. But I think she was like a regular who usually gets back massages, so we kind of did that together.
I had somebody who I gave like a release and a little bit of a massage to.
Oh, nice, nice.
I remember we conducted one of some shoulder assessment as well on somebody.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was a good idea, like good exposure.
Yeah. Was there anything that you think you kind of learned about yourself or that maybe you took from that experience and brought it into like your practice or your everyday life?
I think one thing I definitely learned was about communication, mm-hmm. because I think like because we hadn't been exposed to the placement area yet, and yeah. we were still learning about physio, yeah. and physio has so much to do with communication, like with the way you talk, and these were complete strangers, so it yeah. was like very interesting to like just talk and get to know them and yeah. just like smoothening into it.
Yeah.
And also like some of the people did say strongly no to physio, so that was something like you learn.
Yeah.
Like there are people who will not want it.
Definitely.
So just like understanding why that happens, yeah. how to go about a conversation that way.
Yeah. I definitely agree. Like communication is such a large, it's like your initial part mainly. And then obviously as you're doing your actual treatment, like communication is so important. Like understanding, education, and all of that. And I think there's a type, like obviously there's different types of communication as well. And I remember going there first because it was our first time,
yeah.
kind of dealing with any type of, I don't know, like acquaintances and stuff. I was kind of like really reluctant to start conversations. Like I'd be staying with my friend, just being like, so do we just like walk up to them?
Like how do we just
so seeing the difference from that stage to now, especially having done two placements or one placement, is like crazy. And I think like I'm grateful for that first kind of break the barrier, like just thrown into the deep end. Like I think it's very, very beneficial.
It's harsh, but it's beneficial. And it's like we're starting with smooth waves and then going into like the rough sea.
Yeah.
So it's like a very good idea for a first placement.
Yeah. So do you think like, how would you feel if that were to be kind of a placement or like a, yeah, like that setting for it to be a placement?
I think like definitely would highly recommend for first year students.
Yeah.
For sure, because like you're just entering into the field and it's not entirely very serious. Mm-hmm. It's just like going ahead and figuring out, oh, like this is the scene, this is the patient.
Yeah.
Like just getting your hands like wet. It's I think for a first year students is a brilliant idea to have as a placement, because we have only 24 hours in our first year.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely think it would be a good idea.
True. I think especially like this one, because, you know, you're, as I say, like you're not that hands on, are you? It's very much just conversations.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it would still be appropriate for first years. But let's say if it were to be more of a clinical, like if it were to be clinical, but for homeless people where mm-hmm. you are getting hands on, then you could still do it for second years, I think. Especially kind of like in the, like before we start placements, I think it would be very, very good for them to do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
That's kind of it, isn't it?
Yeah.
But yeah, overall, definitely a very, very beneficial and insightful experience. And I would highly recommend even just to go the once. Yeah.
Because
you can go more if you want. Obviously, like I would have loved to go more, but it wasn't as regular, was it? Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm still grateful for that one.
For that one experience was pretty good.
Yeah.
Thank you. Now, pause and consider your thoughts on Andy and Anushka's experience. What would be important for you to consider in placing students in similar environments? Has this conversation led to any thoughts where students could be placed that you hadn't previously considered?
It sounds like a movie plot, but it is not. Last March, thousands of health students all around the world were abruptly removed from clinical rotations. Unexpectedly, and with a very short notice, people could no longer teach or learn next to other people. Fear everywhere. However, it's been a challenging time for creativity and out-of-the-box initiatives in education. it is more than a pleasure for me to interview my colleague, Marta de la Plaza, a Spanish lecturer and physical therapist. She will share with us her amazing experience. In the space following the interview, I would like you could reflect on other imaginative experiences you may know during this COVID situation to cope with lack of physical contact with patients and students. Do you think the experience in Spain could be translated to your country reality? What would be the most important obstacles or barriers? Good morning. It's a pleasure for me to be with Marta de la Plaza. Marta, what is your job role at the university at this moment?
Good morning, Anna. Good morning, Beatriz. I am a chest physiotherapy and I am a full teacher in the physiotherapy department at the European University of Madrid. And also I have been working in chest physiotherapy for a long time ago.
Okay, thank you. Marta, could you please describe your e-health experience at COVID pandemia?
Yes. I started the initiative in April of this year when we were all confined. I thought that my knowledge of chest physiotherapy could help patients who had suffered from COVID-19. I decided to create an altruistic platform in order to bring respiratory rehabilitation. We have been working since this moment to right now, 3 times a week, with more than 100 patients. There have been a great interest among patients from Spain, from Latin America, connected to world this breathing with pulmonary function. And pulmonary function, so chest physiotherapy techniques. The interest has grown and patients referred clinical improvement. They felt better. So the idea of doing a research project of this way of working came up.
Wow, great. Were students engaged in your altruistic initiative?
The program began in a personal and altruistic way. Afterwards, I watched the clinical improvement, and for that reason, the program became a research project. Unfortunately, many people are left with respiratory sequelae after coronavirus. The program will be continued with our students in the future. We are going to train them. They will be able to develop the competences of physiotherapy within other care models, CAR models, like telerehabilitation. We think is a good idea in this moment. No?
Of course, yeah. What are the main learnings of your experience for you, for your patients?
On a personal level, it's been a very nice experience. Patients feel better in quality of life, dyspnea and anxiety. We have measured this. Patients tell me they feel better and they use the online platform also as a meeting place to express their worries about the coronavirus. The project was born 5 months ago and it will continue. It will continue. In general, we are very happy with the results and the receptions. We continue to work in this way with our patients and our students.
Wow. Tell us, Marta, what's next? How can students participate in this e-health activity in the future?
First time, they will be trained in the rehabilitation program, in this rehabilitation program, so they can perform respiratory physiotherapy practice online in post-COVID-19 patients. Our students, they will develop a skill in pulmonary rehabilitation, and also they will be trained in a new reality of care. that is telematic or tele-rehabilitation. And we think that the plus important, we will help all people we can in this initiative.
Oh, okay. First of all, congratulations for your great initiative. We wish you really luck in your research project, and I hope all your dreams in this experience come true. Thank you very much, Marta, for being with us today.
Thank you, Beatriz.
It would be a good idea to pause here for 10 minutes or so, just to consider your thoughts and reflections and make a few notes.
After listening to this multicultural podcast, we realized that we are all on the same page. This pandemic situation has limited the access to hospitals and other health institutions for students. However, it's been a time for opportunities and learnings. Creativity for health educators is highly necessary in order to offer meaningful alternatives. Currently, in most European countries, e-health is poorly developed in physical therapy and even considered as a poor treatment, even though hands-on is trendy. It is maybe time to reconsider this. Remote learning in undergraduate physical therapy is not always allowed by education institutions, considering only a face-to-face learning methodology. However, during this pandemic, virtual learning has proved to be an excellent opportunity. During COVID pandemic and with a very short notice, a remote learning system has been implemented in almost every course. Multimedia and virtual simulations are ready for students to support the development of clinical skills, and students are comfortable with technology-based solutions. Virtual consultations are no longer a taboo. Involving students is challenging, but possible and rewarding. Teachers and clinicians are more comfortable with using online platforms to teach. Despite all these opportunities, there are still many concerns. We need a strong collaboration between universities and healthcare institutions to potentiate new forms or distance professional education experiences. We miss patients and the professional care environment. Do we teachers and physical therapists really rely on virtual clinical counseling and consultation as a valuable educational experience? Let's reflect on this. Thank you very much for being with us during this podcast.
We're really looking forward to seeing your thoughts and reflections on Padlet about the conversations we've had in this podcast and what you think we can learn from each other to support student placements in the future. We hope that you'll join us in our synchronous session on Tuesday the 15th. Thank you for listening to our podcast.